Are you bold enough to admit your mistakes? I'm going to tell you the biggest mistake I ever made. Are you ready? Stopping at two kids. Big mistake. And I want to tell you, I love Father's Day. I love Father's Day in the house of the Lord because without reservation, I want to say the greatest need in America is a need for more godly dads. If you agree with me, give the Lord a hand right now. Lord, send a revival of godly masculinity to our nations. It's going to be a great day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the kind words kids say today, and even the kids that are not old enough to say, Dad, you're really amazing. Let the men here today go, well, my church is telling me I'm going the right track. And Father, for every young man that's here that really didn't have a godly dad or a young lady who didn't have a godly dad, let this be a morning of purpose and meaning where they say, I'm going to give what I've never had. I'm going to give godliness to my family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want all the dads in the room to look at me, and I want to ask you this question. If you were to look your children in the eye and say, look at Dad. I want you to know something. When it comes to this issue, I give you my promise. You have the promise of your father. What would that mean? If you as a dad, as flawed as I am and as flawed as you are, Dad, would look at that little darling of yours and say, look at me, baby. Daddy promises you. You have your father's promise. I guarantee there's going to be meaning behind that promise. There's going to be energy. There's going to be backup. You could almost say, bank it. Count on it. Because with all my strength, son, your father is going to make his promise to you a reality. That's a powerful thought process because when you began to read Jesus, especially in his last few days, he keeps making this statement over and over and over. And you need to be very, very familiar with it. He kept talking about the promise of his Father. We've had a great series on the Holy Spirit. How many of you enjoyed this journey on the series of the Holy Spirit? And I tell you, I almost exploded with praise when I've had some of you say, we've been growing with this series on the Holy Spirit. We've even been going home and digging more about the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what church ought to be? You come here, you hear something, you go, whoa, and you go back and dig a little bit more. And we studied how Jesus said, you can understand what's going on in the invisible because I'm here in the real world and I'm going to tell you about the Comforter, one just like me, another. Not heteros, different, but allos, just like me. And we know what the Holy Spirit is like because Jesus said, he's just like me, but he's everywhere. He's available all the time. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, not offending the Holy Spirit, and allowing his fruits to flow through our psyche so that we can be healthy like the Holy Spirit is. Then we spent 2 weeks on the grace gifts, the charismas of God, the charismatas of God. But today, we wind up in this series on the Holy Spirit talking about what Jesus talked about over and over and over and over again. And since it was so important to Jesus, it needs to be on your radar. Jesus kept talking about the promise of the Father. Acts 1:4. Turn your eyes on these words. Jesus gathered in all the believers in a little huddle, and he commanded them. This. Now, I want you to catch the context. Jesus is about to leave, and he knows if he really doesn't give them some clear instructions, all of his work's going to fall apart. Don't you just hate it when you work hard and it just falls apart? So that's what Jesus is thinking. So he didn't say, this is not a, if you want to, this is a command. And he says, don't spread out right now. You're not ready for that, and go do your own thing with what you've heard from me. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait on what? Read the words in yellow. Say it real. Say it. I want you to wait on the promise of the Father, And I want you to notice the next line. He said, you have heard me talk about that. If you did a study on the word heard, it would mean over and over and over again. Just didn't hear it one time. He kept talking about the promise of the Father over. And the disciples were going, oh yeah, we've heard him talk about that. What is it? It was all about getting his disciples to just stay put long enough so the promise of the Father could come into their life. And this was kind of like, probably happened to you when your mom and dad was walking away and you were just getting at the age where they could trust you to stay at the house a little bit. And dad's walking out the door and he turns to you. Bailey's heard me say this. Keep the door locked. Don't go anywhere without calling or texting, and feed the dog, okay? Just do that and you'll be okay. And then leave it with him. And Jesus didn't say feed the dog, but you do need to feed your dog. He didn't say keep the door locked. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to experience the promise of the Father. In fact, it's right before he left. This was so important. I want you to look at what Jesus said the last few moments or seconds before he left. What's he doing? He's talking about the promise of the Father. He's saying, you've seen all these things I've done. Luke chapter 24. You've seen them all. But behold, I am going to send you, read the words in yellow very boldly. So what I want you to do, I want you to go to Jerusalem. This is very important. I want you to stay put. Stay put in Jerusalem until you are, and here's a very special word, endued with power from on high. Endued. That means something from heaven comes down and gets in you so you can do your mission. Endued. We're going to see that again in just a moment. And then notice what happened. After he said these things, what did he just talk about? I want you to get endued with power. I want you to welcome the promise of the Father. And notice what happens after that. And right after that, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and look what these words says. And he blessed them. We bless you at the end of the service. And he blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them that he was lifted up into the heavens. So, big brother Jesus is leaving, and he's saying, I'm about to leave for a while, going to be gone, preparing you a mansion. This is what I want you to do. Didn't say lock the door. Didn't say take care of your pet. He says, you got to do this. You got to welcome and wait for the promise of the Father. Hey, well, what is this promise of the Father? Jesus keeps talking about, do your own research. Jesus talked about the promise of the Father. Jesus felt like this was the key for believers going on and advancing the gospel after his exit. Well, we find over in Acts, we were just there a moment ago, Acts chapter 1, verses 4. When you look at verse number 5, we kind of get some definition and some clarity on what the promise of the Father is. Look, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, I want you to stay in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And then look at the verse 5 there. He said, John indeed baptized you with water. That was appropriate. But in a few days, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You are going to be baptized. There is a direct connection between what the promise of the Father was that Jesus said is really important to being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to make this very clear, and I don't want there to be any haze in your mind what we teach here at Chapel Hill. We believe all true believers have the Holy Spirit. If you're Baptist, Methodist, all true believers, Presbyterian, you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen to that. But let me tell you where that happened. When after the Lord was resurrected, the disciples were all scared, and they were in the upper room. None of them had been born again or saved at that moment. But Jesus came in, and the Bible says he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. He actually said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's when their dead, comatose spirits were regenerated, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. And when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you're asking to be this, your Savior, you receive His Holy Spirit. You didn't even have a hunger for the things of God. But when you say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, He comes in, He breathes life into your dead spirit, and your spiritual man comes alive, and you're born again, and you have the Holy Spirit. Somebody give the Lord a hand for that. All true believers have the Holy Spirit. But here Jesus is saying, don't mistake that for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the believers were already born again. They had already had that experience. But he said, John baptized you with water, but something else is coming, the promise of the Father. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes when you're a hellion, and you don't care about God, and you're a party animal, and you think you can build a better life out being Mr. Selfish, Miss, I'm into me, and it implodes on you. I love people that don't love the Lord and don't walk with the Lord, because it's just a matter of time until this plan just falls apart. It just falls apart. There's no substance there. But here, the Holy Spirit says, there's a better way. Serve Jesus. And the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. You got that? The Holy Spirit reaches out and grabs your heart and baptizes you into the body of Christ. Then the preacher will come, or someone, and baptize you in water. For many of you, that's your next step. But then notice this. It's Jesus, not the preacher. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, He Himself, who comes and immerses you in the baptism and the Spirit of the Lord. How many of you want Jesus to totally immerse you in the person of the Holy Spirit? Man, I want that. So let's get some definition to this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is found in, what is it? Acts chapter 1:8. Let's go to Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Look at this equation. The promise of the Father equals the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the same as empowerment and for having a global impact with your life. Jesus has these disciples, they're about to scatter. No, don't scatter. Wait for the promise of the Father. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be endued with power for your own personal mission. And through that personal mission, the world is going to be impacted in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Little of you is going to make a difference. Did you know that that verse right there is Acts 1:8 that we just looked at? Is being fulfilled right now with our Costa Rica missions team. We've got people right now who just kind of fell in love with Jesus and started going to the Lord, you know, for more of Him. And now they're on a missions journey to Costa Rica, touching underprivileged children. Give the Lord a hand right now. They're doing a global impact. And if you're a kingdom giver participant and a tither and a leader and you're taking your next step around here, you're doing that too, because you're making that possible. It's just amazing how little of you can yield to Jesus, and before you know it, you don't live in this emptiness of, I'm just an American consumer. No, you are a kingdom, transformational, global impact servant of the Lord, and you've been endued with power from heaven, and somehow He flows through you through His Holy Spirit, and you're making a difference all over the world. This is so amazing. I want to tell you that Peter was preaching. He made reference to it real quickly, and I want to share this with you. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching. He's preaching down there, and he says, hey, the Holy Spirit had fallen on everybody. And you know what he makes reference to in Acts chapter 2 in his sermon? I believe it's verse 32. He looks at it, and he says, what you guys are seeing, because a lot of people say, hey, these guys have gotten drunk, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and you know, you're just like, man, that's pretty early to get started. He says, whoa, wait a second. And he goes public. He says, look at this. Hey, everybody. Jesus is really risen from the grave. And what you're seeing and hearing, everyone say seeing and hearing. There was something going on, but people were hearing something, they were seeing something. Peter said, this is what the Father promised. Look at that. Doesn't say the promise of the Father. He says, this is what the promise of the Father promised. So there's no doubt. When Jesus kept saying to his believers, I want you to receive the promise of the Father, he was talking about the baptism of the Spirit that's available for all of us, which is the same as being empowered by the Holy Spirit for your personal mission so you can touch your community. On July 4th, this is going to flow through us. We're collecting water right over here. And I want you to bring some water. We could buy water, but we want you to bring some water, because we're going to ice it down. And on the 4th of July, we're going to go out, and we're not going to be over the top, and we're not going to be abrasive. We're going to walk out to all the hundreds of people at our 4th of July parade. We're going to wave the American flag, and we're going to walk out with iced water bottles and just hand people a cup of cold water with a Great Chapel Hill label on it. And we're going to let hundreds of people in Dunwoody know there's a dynamic church here that's welcoming and loving, and they can come. And we want you to come. So we want you to make your 4th of July, just have fun. The Duvalls went last year. We had a blast. But we said, we're not going to let this parade take place in our community without passing out the love of our ministry. So just plan on it. You got it? Somebody going to help me, okay? But notice what it says. Peter says, and all daddies and mommies, listen to this verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He says, this promise of the Father is not only for us in this century, but it's for you, and it's for your children, and it's for people a long way from here, far off, as many that will call upon the name of the Lord. And I want to look every daddy in the eye right now, and I'm going to tell you, you got a big job. Because you've got to raise this son and daughter in a toxic culture, and the spirit of Antichrist is not backing off. Sam, it's getting stronger. And you got two awesome sons that I am so thankful that I get to know, because they're going to rock the world. But you know what the greatest thing you've got going for you is? That you have the promise of the Father waiting for your two boys, so that the power of God's Spirit can help them walk through their life and overcome and be powerful with the witness for Jesus. Dads, moms, if it for no other reason, you ought to be open to the promise of the Father in your own life, just so that you can lead the way for your children. Because the best promise and hope you have for your babies and your grandkids is that in this antichrist toxic culture, in the middle of it, your children can meet Jesus as Lord and Savior. And not only that, the power of the Holy Spirit's available for them throughout their life. And they can be a Spirit-filled teenager and a Spirit-filled young lady and a Spirit-filled child. That's the confidence we have as Christian parents, and it is absolutely awesome. I'll tell you, as a dad, I've had some wonderful moments with Daly and Hadley. But one of the greatest moments, and I cherish it for all of you, is, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I can remember the place and the moment. We were driving down 280 in Birmingham, and Slosky's sandwich shop is right here. And Hadley might have been 8 years old, maybe nine, and there's a turning lane off 280 to go on the Valleydale Road. And as I'm making that turn on the Christian radio this song came, "Come Walk With Me." And my little 8-year-old, Hadley, said, "Oh, I love that song." That's the song the praise team was singing at camp when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I thought, my world's awesome. I have a little girl that the promise of the Father has been made real in her life. And it's not just for us, it's for our babies too. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Now, I want to move on. And Luke chapter 11 talks about flawed fathers. Flawed fathers. And I'm a flawed father. We're all flawed fathers. And Jesus knows that not all of us had perfect dads. But he uses this to teach how we can have confidence in the promise of the Father that we'll never get anything bad when we ask for the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Jesus is teaching on prayer and the Holy Spirit, and he said, you daddies, even though you're flawed, and he says evil, really the word is you're human. You know you're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But he uses the frailty of dads, and he says, you're not perfect, but even in your inadequacies, there is not a chance in Hades that if your little baby, your little kid said, Daddy, I want something good to eat, that you would give your child a snake, a cobra. If your little girl says, Daddy, I want some breakfast, you would put arsenic in her Cheerios. You've got so many flaws, we can't even count it, Mr. Duval, but you would never be so bad to give your little kids something dangerous and deadly and poisonous when they were asking sincerely for something healthy. Look at this verse. If you dads, as flawed as you are, wouldn't be so vile, how much more your Father, who is perfect, would never give anything dangerous to His children who ask for the Holy Spirit. You say, what do I got to do to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Right there. Look at it. What does it say? Somebody tell me what the Word says. We preach the Word. What does it say? So this is what I'd like for you to do. Somewhere in your spiritual journey, ask the Father to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'd really encourage you to do that. Make this the summer of the Holy Spirit. Now, real quickly, there are four groups of people that I want you to see if you share some common ground with. So I want us to move through these in the next 15 minutes. Group number one is a group of believers that are well-discipled. Very well discipled. Have you been discipled well? Or are just hungry for more? Just hungry for more. There's a group of people in the book of Acts that received the Holy Spirit. They were perfectly discipled. Look at Acts chapter 1 in the list of people that I'm talking about. The big, big heavyweight men and women of God were in this list. Look at them. There's two screens there. All the heavyweights. You know who they got discipled by? Say it. Come on, Jason, you know, Jesus. How many would agree with me, when you get discipled by Jesus, you've been discipled pretty good. But even though they've been discipled by the best, and maybe you've been discipled by a great Bible teacher, they still hungered for more of the Lord. They hungered. How do you know they hungered? Because look at Acts chapter 2. Jesus said this. He said, I want you to go in Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. You know how long those people stayed in that upper room? We can figure it out by the math. Jesus appeared after His resurrection. He was crucified on Passover. The celebration of Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. He appeared 40 days, went up in the sky, we just said, after 40 days. 10 days later was Pentecost. He sent them in the upper room. For 10 days, these people stayed upstairs with the same 119 other folks. Now look at me. You would really have to be hungry for God to be pinned in a room with me for 10 straight days. I don't know if you could take it. Semi-arid. I mean, how long would it take? 4 days, 5 days? I'm out of here. I can't take this. But their hunger was so strong. They had discipleship, but they waited because they were so hungry. And maybe you've had great teaching, but yet you're hungering for more. Because look what happens in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly a sound came from heaven, and a rushing mighty wind filled that room. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they received the promise of the Father. And they began to pray in a spiritual language. And the power of prophecy came over them. The rest is history. They walked out of that upper room to change and influence the world for the better through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, you can be discipled, but yet you may hunger for more. The promise of the Father is for you. Group number two, maybe you relate to this group. Just recently saved and totally no discipleship or knowledge about God. That happened in Acts chapter 10. I want to introduce you to a guy by the name of Cornelius. He was not a Christian. He was a good, God-fearing man, but he had never heard the gospel. You cannot be a Christian without hearing the gospel. He gave to the poor. He was tender, and God loved him and supernaturally sent Peter to preach to his home. But he was a non-Christian. They didn't know the Lord. No Gentiles had been saved at that time. But as Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 10, down at the bottom of the chapter verses 44, something began to happen. Notice this. Peter's preaching the gospel. And Peter had not even got to the altar call. He's telling the story of Jesus. Cornelius receives Jesus before the opportunity to make a response. Because during that message, he went from not being a believer to accepting Jesus. Peter's preaching, and the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, comes on Cornelius right there before the end of the service. Cornelius was recently saved by matters of seconds, but what happened? Not discipled at all. But the promise of the Father came and filled his life. That's awesome. And later we can find out that they said, well, we need to go take him and allow him to be water baptized because we know he's a believer. So maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're just a new believer and you really don't know much about God. You don't have to wait 10 years, 20 years to get totally discipled. The promise of the Father is to help you in your journey, early. It's real. It's what happened. Maybe you're a part of group two. I remember when I was a junior in high school, I walked up to a guy in art class because he was bragging about going to the state hospital on an overdose. His name was Steve Cooley. I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take about him bragging about being in the state hospital. I went over there and just started talking about Jesus right there in art class. I didn't even invite him to church. That Sunday, Steve Cooley was in our church by a miracle of God, came down and got saved. I'm going, this is so cool. This is cool. I was talking to him in art. Now he's getting saved. This kid was so addicted. He was so broken. He'd been in the state institution bragging about it on a bad trip. And after he got saved, I watched him. He threw his hands to heaven and got filled with the Holy Spirit and just began to worship the Lord in his spiritual language. I'm going, whoa, this is quick. It was biblical. You know what? Years later, I went to preach at that church as an adult at age 35. And when I walked in the door, Steve Cooley met me at the door to introduce me to his family that he had raised as Christian kids. Come on, somebody, get excited about something around here. Praise God! 2 years ago, I got a call that Steve Cooley had passed away. Can I tell you, when I step in glory of all the people, my daddy that says, hey, Danny, I want to show you around. Steve Cooley's going to wave at me and says, man, Danny, I want you to know this place is awesome. And I'm so glad that Jesus is there to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Even if you've never been discipled, it's available for you. Here's a third group. Third group is a group of people. Maybe this is where you are because we're all in different places. Maybe you've been really discipled. Great. You're just hungry for more. Promise the Father. You need to stop your clock. Think about it. Maybe you're just a new believer and you say, man, I got to get some power quick. Yeah, you're group two? Yeah, but here's group three. Group three is, I believe in it. I just think it's for everybody else and not me. There's a lot of people like that in the body of Christ. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's very obvious. But this baptism, this promise of the Father, is for like missionaries and pastors and super saints. And I am a long way from a super saint. Well, in Acts chapter 8, this is exactly what happened to group number 3. There's a revival taking place. Look at it. I won't read it all. But people are coming to the Lord. People are being healed. Look at that. Acts chapter 8. And it's all, demons are being cast out. And many, many signs are taking place. And all the believers there are going, yeah, this is awesome. Great joy was in the city. It's great seeing what God is doing in all these families' lives. But every believer there except Philip, the guy leading the revival, the deacon, had this mentality. Well, I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. I see it everywhere, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit's not for me. The promise of the Father is for everybody else. Have you ever thought that? Well, look what happens in the next verse. Peter and John, the most mature believers on the planet, along with the other apostles, heard that everyone at Samaria said, oh, the Holy Spirit's good for other people and other churches, but not me. Said, this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not exclusive. So they went down to Samaria and they said, hey, folks, this is for you too. Don't think that this empowerment of the Spirit is just for super saints. And Peter and John laid hands on them, and when they did, they received the Holy Spirit. They'd already been saved. They'd already been a part of a great church. They'd already been part of revival. They'd already been water baptized. But they just said, this part of what God does is not for me. And Peter and John said, we need to let them know it's available for your sons and your daughters. This promise, as Peter said, is for you and for those as far off away as Dunwoody in the next few centuries. They can have that too. One of the things that cracked me up was I had a wonderful Presbyterian friend. I love Presbyterian. I want to tell you, this day, the day of one denomination fighting against a different church is over. I want to tell you. Come on, somebody get with me. That day of division, we're all, if you're for Jesus, we got to be together. Can you say amen? Come on, I need a little amen. If you love the Lord, man, I'm so excited about every Christian I can meet. Man, I tell you, when you lived in the condo that I lived in, to meet someone that was not ashamed of the gospel or was a Christian, it was like, oh man, what a breath of fresh air you are. But here's the mentality. I had, and I'll tell you, Gayla, you'll know who I'm talking about. His name was Dennis, great Presbyterian man. Didn't come to Jesus till he was older. And their thinking was, we're Presbyterian, we're the Christian thinkers. We'll do the deep theology of Christian thinking. The Baptist does the evangelism. And you charismatics do the Holy Spirit. And if we do all this, then we've got it all covered. We think Baptists reach out, charismatics just do this. I go, no. I'm to be a Christian thinker. I'm to hand out water bottles on the 4th of July. And I am to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants you to have the full orbed dimension of a kingdom warrior and servant, hallelujah. And that includes thinking, and that includes reaching and giving, and that includes receiving all that God has for us. Don't exclude you. And the final group is the fourth group. And the fourth group may be the largest group of all. And that's the group of people that love the Lord, serve the Lord, but their previous church just didn't talk about this. Skipped it. Very few belittle it. Some would even fight it. Most just ignore it because this type of thing is not a pro-church growth thing in some people's minds. We want people to come, and if we talk about this, people go, oh, y'all are those supernatural people. Y'all are those mystical people. Y'all are those strange. The Holy Spirit on our opening video is not weird. The Holy Spirit is the genius of the creation and of the universe. Can you say amen to that? So, there's a lot of people that's never been in a church that teaches this. And that's who we meet in Acts chapter 19. Paul walks up to 12 new guys. I love the way he meets these guys. And he asks them this question. And I want you to think about this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, I just told you, you cannot become a Christian without receiving the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. So he's not talking about, he wouldn't ask them if they received the Holy Spirit if he didn't think they were Christian. Heathens don't receive the Holy Spirit. Christians receive the Holy Spirit. So he's not saying, I think you're a heathen. I don't know if you're a Christian or not. Did you receive the Holy Spirit being a heathen? Yeah, are you tracking with me? He firmly was confident these people were believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Not the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit to give you a hunger for God because you didn't have it before, but the promise of the Father. You know what they said? He says, we don't. Look at, read the yellow. Read the yellow. We had a real good teacher, real good church, loved the fellowship, loved the fun and worship, and we didn't talk about that at our church. He was a great man, and maybe you've been, maybe you spent time. I'm looking at Bobby Everts back there. Great. I respect him greatly. He's a great man of prayer. I like hanging around Bobby. He motivates me to pray. He interrupts me through my week, telling me to pray for people. 30-second prayer request. He lived in a church, but they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it mean Bobby's bad? Doesn't mean that church is bad. It just didn't. But look what happened. Acts chapter 18, you can go back and see what a quality teacher these 12 guys had. Apollos was their pastor. He was, look at it, I'm not going to read it, but he's a learned man. He's a good man. He talked about the way. He talked about Jesus accurately. He talked a lot about the God. He just didn't know about the full dynamic of the promise of the Father. So these guys are not to blame that they were never exposed to it. And guess what happened? Paul in Acts chapter 19 said, "Well, guys, there's so much for you to do with your life. Have a Jerusalem. You have an Atlanta to reach. You need to make a global impact, and God wants to endue you with power so His kingdom can flow out of you in a supernatural way." And look what happened. Those guys in group 4 spent a lot of time in a church that teacher that didn't talk about it said, "Oh, this is real. This is the promise of the Father." And they prayed, and when they did, read the yellow. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They received their spiritual language. And they began to talk in their known language with the Spirit all over them. And there's about 12 guys who didn't know anything about this because their old church didn't tell them. But they went to a ministry or met by a man named Paul who said, first time he met them, I got to make sure you've been introduced to this. So maybe you can relate to group 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe you're like me, group 5. And that is Ephesians 4, where it says, even if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit a long time ago, guess what? It's time to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. because Danny, you leak a lot. You leak a lot, Brother Danny. And you need to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to tell you something. Why do we talk about this? Because Jesus wouldn't let it go. Jesus wouldn't let it go. He said, I want to tell you, I'm leaving. But when I go, stay calm and open your heart to the promise of the Father. And everything else will take care of itself. Close your eyes with me right now. If you're here right now and you say, Pastor Danny, I really need to get things right between Jesus and me. And I don't know a lot. I don't know what's next. I don't know what my next step is. I couldn't lay out a game plan to say that I'm discipled. All I know is I'm here today, and I feel the Holy Spirit tugging on me that I need to surrender to Jesus and have Him forgive me of my sin. I embrace my sin. I have been running from God. If you're here right now and you've been running from Christ, maybe you made a prayer of dedication a long time ago, but you're so far from that prayer. And it's time that you come back to your Heavenly Father. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. But if you're here right now and you say, I don't know what to do long haul, but I know right now I need to get things right between me and Jesus, will you pray for me? Yes, I will. In fact, we'll all pray together with one voice. But if you're here right now and you'll say, there's junk, there's sin in my life, there's things I'm doing that's hurting God, I know it, and I don't want to live here anymore. I want forgiveness. The count of three, I want you to humbly raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Can you just raise your hand right now? Just raise your hand. Just thank you so much. Thank you. It's so beautiful. We'll just pause a moment. Just let the... God, thank you. There's another hand. Praise the Lord. Don't belittle this moment in the service. This is decision time. This is yielding time. You're running from God. And you know it's going to implode on you. You say, I want a clean heart. Only the blood of Jesus. Raise your hand one more time. I won't wait any longer. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. I want you to look at me right now. I want you to look at me right now. If you've made that decision, it's the first time you've made that decision in a long, long time. We're concerned about your next steps. Really, that's all we care about. You don't hear us talking about membership. You know what you hear us talk about? Your next step. Always. Always. So if you need some help, you've made a decision for Jesus, and you would want the full energy of this ministry to help you in your next step of faith, here we are. You can help us by filling that out. Check the blank where it says, I've made a fresh decision for the Lord. You can just take it to a hospitality team, give it to our greeters on the way out, or you could bring it down in just a moment because our prayer partners are going to be here in a moment. Let me tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. Pastor, you've talked about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says. It says that when you receive the promise of the Father, don't be surprised if a heavenly language starts coming through you or a language you've never learned. Don't be surprised if that happens. You ask the Father. That's, if you're a Christian, you ask the Father, don't fight what God does. What happens? Can I have that verse? 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says this, it says, when you pray in a heavenly tongue, heavenly language, you don't pray to man, you pray to God. And notice it says you pray mysteries. I want you to know, when you pray in a heavenly language, it's the only time when you pray that you don't inject your own bias in your wills. You're just praying the will of the Lord. So don't fight that. Don't fight that. And then Jude 20 says, when you pray in the Spirit, you not only pray to God, but you build up yourself. You edify yourself. You don't build up everybody else. That's why we're not in here just speaking in tongues with each other, because it doesn't build up other people. But when we get alone with God, and we have a time with Jesus, and He immerses us with the Holy Spirit, our weakness and our spiritual depletion, He fills us. She says, but you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How many of you times, do you ever have times when you just need to be strengthened spiritually? Well, that's part of what this is all about. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do real quickly. I'm going to ask you that you make this the summer of the Holy Spirit. I want you to make this the summer of the Holy Spirit in your life. I can look over my journey and I can tell you what summer was the summer of the Holy Spirit's introduction for me, Jill. I was 15 years old. Summer of the Holy Spirit. I'd get on a golf cart with some of my buddies on the day it was closed and no one was there, and we'd go to picnic table and three of us would get our Bibles. And they'd be at one pond, I'd be another lake. I just spent time with God. I experience the Holy Spirit. Find time on vacation. Find time where you just get away from everybody. And just let this be the summer of the Holy Spirit. And ask the Father to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Would you do that? Would you do that? I think Jesus wants you to. But we're not going to stop there. For any of you that are so hungry, you don't want to wait till you can get alone. I want you to stand with me right now. I want you to stand with me right now. Our prayer partners are coming right here. I know this is Dad Days. Listen, we got Dad's root beer out there. We've got bacon-covered maple donuts. Your hands ought to be sticky right now. We got a devotional for your dad. And I know you got plans, but I want to tell you, these prayer partners are here for you. And if you're like group one, I've been well-trained, and I'm just hungry for more. I'm so hungry, I don't care about Dad's root beer. I want to come down here for that. We're going to start worshiping the Lord in just a moment. If you need to go. Have the greatest Dad's Day ever. I'm so glad you've come to Chapel Hill. If you want people to pray for you for any need and for every need, you come here. We're here to minister. But I want to bless you right now. Are you ready? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon your entire week. May He open up heaven and be gracious to you. May He turn His face upon you. And may He give you peace in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. You are blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you.